I desire your prayers this afternoon. I am depending on the Lord. I'm probably one of the weakest ones here and the most dependent. I first of all want to testify and thank the Lord. I can get it. Thank you. That's also part of my exercise. The Lord has been very gracious. I'm sorry. Let's see. The Lord has been very gracious. Is that right? Okay. To me, it's been 2 years since I fell and my life was altered. And he has answered prayer more times than we can count. There were times we had to wait for the answer, but many times it was instant. And in the past few weeks, I have been pretty sick. And Sarah says that it almost would give her whiplash. Because one minute I could be deathly sick. And prayer was offered. And the next thing I'm in the kitchen cooking. And we, Dan said I was being like his dad and Sister Nelda, you know, one minute they were dying and the next minute they were on a trip to California. But that's what I want to testify to you about, that it pays to trust in the Lord, and to believe his word.
Yes.
His word is eternally set. So this afternoon, I desire the Lord to help me again.
Amen.
Oh, by the way, there were some that told me that they heard that I wasn't even out and about. But I have been. And I missed Easter Sunday. That was the first Sunday I've missed any services. And then the Sunday before this meeting, I was not able to go to the morning service, but I went to the afternoon, and I was feeling really bad. And Brother Dan prayed for me, and I preached. So that's just another thing that the Lord has done for me, that when I get in the pulpit, everything that's wrong is gone. And I thank the Lord for that. I want to start with a scripture, 2 Timothy 2 and 6. And it says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. I do have this on. Okay. Then I'm going over to Ecclesiastes 12 and looking at verses 9 through 10, and it says, moreover, because the preacher is wise, he taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. And the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. Ecclesiastes 1 and verses 1 and 4. The words of the preacher said, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh. Verse 9, and the preacher said, and I added that, there is no new thing under the sun. Going to chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season. Verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. I hope all of those scriptures can come together and speak to us this afternoon. I believe right here in this setting, there are more than one generation. There is a generation here that is looking forward. There is a generation here that is looking back, remembering, recalling the past. And you know what? I'm one of those. And I once was where you are. And I was young. I was anticipating life just like you are, you younger ones that are here. You're thinking about maybe some of you graduated this year. Big changes come after that. But you know, I think of the scripture that says, I was once young and am now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And I haven't. I have a testimony of what God is and has been, not just to me, but to others that I have observed. I'm thinking about the first scripture that speaks about the husbandman must first be a partaker. And I don't want to take that out of the context necessarily, but I have a thought in that. I think most of the time the ministers will preach from their experiences that God has brought them to and brought them through, taught them, revealed unto them the truth. And I feel that in a way we have to go through the trials and the tests and the hard places, or we cannot effectively minister to those that will hear us. So this afternoon I'm preaching from some experiences. A few years ago at the Monarch ministers meetings, it became sort of a topic of how many ministers might be using the word I in their messages. And as it turned out, there were some that was counting how many times a minister said I. But you know, that doesn't bother me. I feel that we know, each of us know our own experiences, and our we know what God has brought us through a little bit better than anyone else. I count it when a minister testifies about his experience that that's for me. And I hope that you will accept some of the things I say today as my testimony. Some things that I had to learn. So, I'm going to start over in a scripture. Psalms 90. Going to be looking at verse 9, and I'm going to be paraphrasing a little bit. I have studied it with the other translations, so I just want to be able to put it in the context that I would like for us to get a hold of today. It says, day after day vanishes We spend our years as a tale that is told. It has a beginning and it has an end. Now, the scripture, if you turned over there and read it, you'd have to study it out to get all that I've said right there, but it's life. Mm-hmm. I've probably used this passage and other passages in funerals. You may have also, because it's fitting. It's fitting to man. It goes on over in Job, the 14th chapter, and we're looking at verses 1 and 2, and it says, man is born, and that's all I'm going to say about that. He unfolds like a flower. Whether his course be one day or months, and this is another translation, he cannot pass the bounds of allotted time. We all know that we have an appointment.
Yes.
Some appointments are sooner than we wish. I appreciated the things that were said at concerning those that have passed on because they're a witness.
Yes.
And it comforted me. Sister Charlotte, she's here today, and I say she's celebrating. She may not feel like she's celebrating 8 years. Well, I'm almost to four. And I can't imagine going another four. But you know, when we are together and sharing those places of grief, it helps us. The Lord designed it to be that way, that we might understand one another, understand our tears, understand the aloneness. And there is an aloneness. And we understand the pain in our hearts. I remember when Jan died, that was 1980. You'd think that you would forget. You don't. And my Aunt Margaret would call me every week and say just about the same thing. Maxine, Lent and the Lord heal your broken heart. And she always emphasized this word, Lent. Then she'd go on and talk about people that didn't let God do that. And my faith got a hold of that. And my testimony at that time was that I might be driving down the highway and the grief would come on me and tears. But I would cry out to the Lord and say, oh God, give me some fresh comfort. And he dried my tears every time. That experience came back to me recently. I'm going through a different phase of grief. And the Lord spoke it to me again that we have to let him do some things. We have to allow it. We can hold on to some things and not let him heal that place. But, you know, there's a lot of things we have to let God do. If we become stiff and hardened and not yield ourselves in the places that he's wanting to do a work in us, we have to let him do that. So that's my desire, is that the Lord will, I will let him do what he wants to do in my life. Going to Psalms 90 and 10, and it says, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So we're speaking some about the end of a person's life, and I have not reached the end of my life. You have not. So we might reach the end of our life, but we'll never be able to express the experience. That's the one experience you will not be able to come back and say, this is what it was like. It's, I don't know about you, but do you ever cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, what is death like? What does it feel like? Do you ever question that? Or are you in a younger stage that you never think about those things? I don't think that I thought about them too much when I was young. But at this age, I do. I would imagine that some older ones here also think about that time of crossing over. So these scriptures are simply talking about the brevity of life. You know, time really slips away, doesn't it? Anybody ever say, well, time flies? Or where did that day go? And I don't think it's just for those. They often say that the older ones, that time goes faster for the older ones. I found when I was working in the school many years ago that even the children were noticing that time was passing very quickly. It would start a school year, and we'd come down to the end of it, and the children would say, that year went so fast. Time is running out for us all. And I think we all sense it. I think that we are, we're not ignorant of the conditions around us that point toward the coming of the Lord, or even to the coming of the Lord for me. If I do not live to see the coming of the Lord, which I have desired since I was a child, my mother said I looked for the coming of the Lord from a child, and I still do. But I'm finally realizing that it may not happen. That the Lord may come for me individually. And you know that's okay.
Yes.
That's okay. I want to see him face to face. Some of the things that's been said here, oh, I had to sit over there and say amen. Because I look forward to seeing the Lord face to face also. So I think that a lot of the things when we speak about, or when we're getting closer to the fourscore, I'm glad it didn't happen this year, but it will next, if I live. So a lot of the things that we do or can talk about or minister to, we have to go through some things and experience them, but other things, we observe them. There's one thing that I have been sorry for, especially of late. I've said, why did I not talk to the older ones when I was younger? Why did I not go to those that were in their later years and say, how does it feel to become this age, and what kind of battles do you have at this age? And because I've heard some older ones comment, I don't know that I took it in, that the older they got, the harder it was. Maybe if I also add to that and testify and say, I have found it to be true, you that are younger might feel discouraged. But I don't think God wants us to give a message of discouragement. I think He wants us to have a message of reality.
Yes.
And facing reality.
Yes.
And even you that are here that are younger, you can prepare.
That's right.
You don't have to wait till you're 70 and say, wait a minute, where time, what's happened to me? You can prepare now. So anyway, I look back and I say I must have been so engrossed in my own stage of life that I wasn't observing or curious enough to talk to those that were at that threshold of eternity and going through their last, well, the song says, my final battle of pain. Pain is very much a part of an older generation. Have you ever heard of the term the happy golden years? Oh, I think we've all heard it. And I've heard people say, well, so much for the happy golden years when they get there. But you know, God wants to be in those golden years too. There's a scripture that says, though this outward man perish, what happens to the inward man? God's plan is for the inward man to be renewed day by day. And you may not feel it when you're in that stage.
Right.
You have to cry out for it. Lord, renew me.
Yes.
Revisit me. Revive me. Renew a right spirit in me. There will not be a place in your life if you're a teenager today and you're looking forward in your generation, there will not be a place you won't need to pray that prayer. Lord, help us. So I think a lot of people, when they think about preparing for the golden years, they think in terms of financial security, but that far misses the point. That will all perish. But the soul is not going to perish. It's going to live on for all eternity. And it's going to be the that part of me that goes back to God according to the scriptures. Well, listen, I've got another scripture in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And I have looked at it from different points of translations, but I do prefer this first verse, specifically from the King James. And I'm going to read it. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I'm going to finish it in a minute, but I'm going to refer to a scripture over in Isaiah. And we might think it's talking more to the older people. Over in Isaiah, it says for us to wait on the Lord, that He will strengthen us. And it says all of these things that will be the result of me waiting on the Lord. But it speaks to the young people too. It says that you that are young are going to faint also. And you're going to get weary. So when that happens to you in your life, though you're young, don't be shocked. Remember, it's part of life. And it is a way of preparing you for every stage of life. Because this is not the only stage you're going to live in. So we come back to this one, and it's speaking about the young people remembering the Creator in the days of when you're young. And you remember it while the evil days come not. What can that mean? Well, the writer here is referring to where I am today. For some, it's like the evil time. I know you know. Many nursing homes all around. What's in those nursing homes? People that have reached a place they cannot take care of themselves. People that we might even say in the back of our mind, they're sitting there waiting to die. That's reality. And if you live, you may come to that place too. And it will pay you to consider it. Because what you do with your young life will come out in your old life.
Yes. True.
Some family member lives in another state. They were having problems with some family members in a nursing home. A man. And we're not going to repeat it, but you know what another person told me? That Lorne told them when they were young. They said, you need to guard your life. Speaking about pornography. Because if you feed on that when you're young, it will come out when you're old. This person that told me that said it meant everything to them. And they guarded it because they've seen it come to pass. So young people, what you do in your life right now, guard it. Because it can come out when you're old. And you don't have the control when you're old. So this scripture here is beginning to unfold some thoughts. It says, it calls the evil days have not come to you yet, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Do you think that there's a time that you can come to and you will not feel the pleasure of life that you once felt? Well, if you think that, it's not true, because it comes to us. It can come through different avenues. And I'm not the only widow woman here. But when you pass through that, well, Lauren and I, down through our life, and God blessed us, we had 57 years. And we said, you know, one of us is going to be left. And we tried to talk it out that way. I want to tell you something. I'm glad it's me and not him. I think it would have been so much harder for him. But you have to face the truth of it. If you're married, one of you will be left. And yet it goes to the point that God wants to be in your widowhood or whatever state of life, God wants to be there with you and for you. I'm going to testify to something that the Lord did for me after Lauren died. Sarah and Ashley had been staying with me and the boys the first couple of months while we were working on the house that they were moving into. And so it came to my first night that I was to be alone. And it was a Sunday night. And so I'm driving home by myself, dreading. Okay, this is it. This is when you're going to break. And I really thought I would. But I drove in the drive and I got out. I didn't turn on lights. I went to my bedroom, closed my door, thinking I would break. But the glory of the Lord filled my room. The holy presence of God was so real, I could not cry. I had no grief. And the glory of the Lord stayed in my room all night. Was still there the next morning, and it was so real I wanted to say, I didn't say it, but I wanted to say, can I fix you some breakfast? It was so real. That's what the Lord wants to do for his people. The enemy is going to say, oh, you're going to break. Oh, when you get old, it'll be this way or that way. I want to tell you, God wants to be with us in our old age. In this chapter of Ecclesiastes, we're not going to try to read it because it's sent to me in such obscure language. I did go to the translations to have words that we could understand, but it says, and I'm going to try to give it like I feel like the writer meant it. Speaking about the days of when we are old, the legs will tremble and the arms will get weak and the teeth become few. And the eyes are dimmed. And the strong man becomes bent. You know, I've noticed that in the older people. They become bent. Bent over just a little bit. I'm walking that way now myself. Lauren did too. So we come to a place that we're sort of bent over. And the scripture in there says, high places become fearful places. Don't want to get on ladders anymore. I once did that. The day before I fell, I had my house clean, my yard was done, my garage was clean. Everything was done, and I simply stepped backward and lost my balance, and I could not do it again. Well, I keep my house up now. Life changes.
Yes, it does.
And it goes on, and it says, let me see if I finished that. Desire shall fail. Oh, I want to tell you, and I know I observe the saints camp meeting and all. And you know, when I would go to camp meeting, weeks before I would go to camp meeting, I started praying, Lord, help me to go and put my whole heart into it. That's desire.
Yes.
And he would do that.
Yes.
And I would get my portion out of that meeting. And now I'm more focused on me. While you're young, Seek the Lord to help you to put your whole heart into this thing. To have desire. Burning desire. Don't become lukewarm in these stages of life that brings you down to this stage of life. Seek the Lord for fire in your soul.
Yes, amen.
I haven't quit seeking. It's just different.
Yes.
So it says, desire shall fail because man goeth to his long home. The silver cord is severed, the golden bowl is shattered, and the pitcher broken. Then the dust returns to earth, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And that's the full life cycle. And generations upon generations have come and gone. I think that that was one of the things that the preacher said. One generation comes and another goes. And how many generations have been since the beginning of counted time? And we're still here. And we're still counting generations. I am now, and those of my age are of the older generation. Did we think we were going to come to this? We didn't think about it. We just simply lived life, and all of a sudden one day we're here. There's some other scriptures I want to give, and then I have just a little warning. The scripture says that David was old and stricken with years, and we could have used a lot of things that's been in. The word of the Lord is not silent on old age. Psalms 71, we're going to be looking at verses 9 and 12 and 17 through 21. And this is what David said. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Why would he say that? Because I'm going to tell you, when you get to this age, sometimes you feel cast off. Don't be shocked if when you get to old age and you can't feel the presence of the Lord and you can't hear his voice. Those kind of things happened off and on. Coming down to this time, it was a test.
Yes.
You know what a test is? We have on the radio, and they blast this sound, and it's supposed to prepare everyone to do whatever we're supposed to do in a time of disaster or whatever. And then at the end, they say, it's just a test. Well, down through your life, you're going to come into places that you feel dry and you feel empty and you can't hear the voice of the Lord. Really? You think you won't ever feel that way? It's a test. God is testing us. Are you still going to believe? If you don't feel love, if you don't feel the love of the saints, you think you'll ever feel that way? I want to tell you, we still have the same devil.
Yes, we do.
That is working on every generation. And the scripture said, no, there's nothing new under the sun. What he's done for this generation, he'll do for yours. You're going to feel sometimes so unloved. I know people can't believe that. Maybe they've never felt that way. Maybe it's just certain people that the devil will work on like that. I don't know. But you can sometimes not feel that God loves you. What do you do with that? Well, I'll tell you what I do with it. I believe the word of God. Whatever I feel or don't feel, if God's word says he will never leave me nor forsake me, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to accept what God's word says. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. So if I feel unloved or whatever kind of negative feeling, it's a negative feeling. Believe God's word and stand on it. So David was old, and he said, cast me not away in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Something happens when we are an afflicted body. Things happen to us mentally and emotionally, and it just is part of our humanity. And you don't give in to the negative thoughts that come just because you don't feel well. When his strength failed, he didn't want God to forsake him, and I don't either. Verse 12, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. See, it's just sort of inserted in here. Here's old age, and now he's remembering how God taught him in his youth. Do you remember? If you're here and you're old, do you remember? You remember how God taught you? Oh, I have some experiences I don't want to forget.
Yes,
don't you?
Yes,
remember them. Oh, God, when I am old and gray-headed, oh, God, forsake me not until... And this is the main meat of this passage. The main reason that David is saying, I don't want you to forsake me when I get feeble, when I get weak. I want to still be able to show your strength unto this generation.
Yes, yes.
That's his purpose.
Yes.
And that's my purpose this afternoon. I want you, oh, I know I am crippled. God ordered it. It's my lot. It's my cross. And you will have a cross to bear also. Embrace your cross. Don't push it away. God has something for you in your cross for the next generation that will speak to the next generation. Ever how you judge me, for whatever reason that I chose to go this route, that doesn't matter. What I want you to see is I'm still here.
Yes.
I don't mean alive. I'm still trusting in the Lord.
Yes.
I love that song that says, I love trusting you. We sometimes ask for sunshine, and he sends the rain. I ask for healing, and I get pain. And so is that a reason to depart?
No.
No, it is. It's for your generation that you can say there were faithful people in that generation. I can say it from the generation that departed in my time. There were many that comes to my mind that were examples that ministered to all of the church and to my generation. And they proved true to the end. And I want to prove true to the end. And I want to be able to sing that song that says, may those who come behind me find me faithful. Help us, Lord. Oh, I want to shew it. Until I have shewed the strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You see, everybody hasn't come yet. There's little babies here that aren't big enough to even know what we're saying, but someday they're going to grow up and they're going to have understanding, and there's going to be somebody get up and testify and say, I remember those of that generation. So we want to show it to all.
Amen.
Verse 19, and then this is what we're going to show. Thou hast done great things. Verse 20, thou hast shewed me great and sore troubles. Why would I insert that? I go back to the scripture that I started with that said, man is born. I didn't finish it. Man is born of a woman and is but a few days and full of trouble, and that's reality. And so when I come down to my life, and think about, what was it, when Joseph, when his father came and met Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's asking him how old he was and what his life was like, and he actually said, it's been full of darkness and trouble. That was his answer. We may feel that way looking back, but there should be a thread that runs through every phase of your life that says he has done great things. There should be a thread. You know what a thread is? Just a single little line that's going through here, and it says a whole lot more than what's all around it. And it says, and thou hast comforted me on every side. That's verse 21. Skipping on down to another chapter, Zechariah 8 and 4, and it says, thus saith the Lord, there shall yet be old men and old women in the streets. As long as time goes on, there's going to be an older generation and a younger generation, and all the generations in between. So there's going to be old men and old women in the streets, and every man with his staff in his hand for every age.
Thank the Lord. Yeah.
Thank the Lord. So I want to close now with just a, I don't know, I'm just going to trust that the Lord will help me to know the burden of my heart, because I know what I have felt, what I have experienced. The temptations, you think you don't have temptations in your old age? You will. You will not be able to listen to Church of God preaching 24/7. You won't. You won't be able to sit and read your Bible 24 hours a day. That's reality. When you were young, and I know some of you will know what I'm talking about, you're busy. You're so busy in life, you say, I'm too busy. I don't have enough time to do this or that. That's in your phases before this one. You come to this phase and you have all kinds of time on your hands. And the majority of that time, you're alone. You cannot expect to be, how shall I say it, coddled. God wants to prove himself to you and to me. In those silent times, in those quiet times, here is what is a great danger. And it's not just for the old. It is for every age that is in this room. We are living in a different time. My parents knew nothing of the time we are living in. There wasn't such a thing as cell phones. There weren't when I was growing up. There weren't such a thing as internet or computers, or I don't even know that we ever crossed our minds that something like that could come. But there was one thing that did come, two things, more than two. Entertainment. Probably the two generations before me, it was introduced. I think Brother Marty preached a message on entertainment one time, and he gave this as a definition for the word entertain. It meant held from within, something to that effect. People don't want to think all the time about righteous things and holy things. That's what the enemy is trying to do. He tries to steal.
Yes.
And he wants our minds to be full of other things. Now, I have a scripture that came to me after I came in here. Part of it is 1 Corinthians 6, and I don't know the verses. They've got too many verses here. It says, "All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient." What does that mean? There could be things that are maybe completely legal. Okay. No sin. And you could allow yourself to have those thoughts, but it goes on and it says, "All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And that's for every generation.
Yes, it is.
Just because you get old doesn't mean that you don't want to entertain your mind some way. And it could be perfectly okay. Evaluate how much time you spend doing other things. And you don't have to answer to me by any means. But I have to answer to God. Lord, help me to be balanced. Help our younger generation to learn it early and to recognize when the enemy is wanting to fill their minds with something that may be fine. Be balanced. Because you're going to get old. And you know our phones, it tells us how long we're on our phones. Once a week. Oh, your usage is up. And you stop and think, "Lord, what have I been doing? I've had all of this time." Oh, Father, help us all. I find that this is something that we need to be warned about, all generations. Be careful.
Yes.
Don't be brought under the power of any of it. Recognize when the enemy is trying to steal something from you that will make you weaker spiritually in your old age, or if you're young. I say that the devil is a master inventor. But the scripture says that man has sought out many inventions. You might say, "Well, that means they invented it." I want to tell you, I believe he invented it, but man seeks after it.
Yes.
Don't seek after those things that are going to take you away in that final hour of your life.
That's
right. So that's my warning. Distractions. There's distractions on every hand. I'm not telling you to do what I do. my house is silent. I don't listen to the radio. I might turn it on if I'm in the car a little bit. I know very little about news. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone or making anyone feel bad about that at all. But be careful with what you hear. But there's a danger in a silent house. I still have a mind. Unfortunately, I found that when Lorne died, something happened to my song. I really haven't got my song back. You know, our house was not silent when he was alive. If I was fixing a meal, you know, he was in there picking his guitar and singing, and I was singing with him, and there was sound, and God wants to fill our minds
yes.
with right things.
Yes.
I desire your prayers. If you think that I'm preaching at you, think again. I'm preaching at myself because I'm in danger. We hear the scripture all the time. We're living in perilous times. And we are. I'm in perilous times. Pray for me.